Okay, now we're going to continue with Tamid Daf Kafav at the very bottom of Kaf Hamabet. Ira keri le'echad mehem yotzei v'holech lo b'misibah ha'olech lo tachad habira. So now, here comes the big problem. If they slept there at night, what happens if they have some semen come out of their bodies at night? This is going to create a tumah problem. So they're in the azara. It's a bit of a problem. First of all, you're not allowed to be tameh in the azara. Now, it does happen. People become tameh. There's a whole debate here whether it's actually, if you become tameh, do you have to leave immediately? Or is it just that you can't come into the mikdash tameh? But if you're already in the mikdash, it's not like you have to leave right away. But anyway, how does he get to the mikvah? Because he can't walk through the azara to get to the mikvah. Now look on your map. See where the mikvah is. The mikvah is in the Lishkat HaMitzoraim, in the Ezrat Nashim. There's four lishakot in the four corners. This is the one that's right up against the wall of the azara. And inside there's a mikvah. Okay, it's blue on the map. Okay, see it? It's over here, outside the azara. Okay. Yeah, right there. So, what would they do? I don't know if you knew this, but there were underground tunnels in the Beit HaMikdash. So he would go into the underground tunnel. You can see in the Beit HaMoked on this map, it says Yirida LeBeit HaTfilah. There was you could get there to the underground tunnel. Okay, since it was the sleep area, this was the most likely area you're going to have to get to the tunnel. And let's hear some things about the tunnel. Ne'erot dolkim mikan u'mikan. There were candles on either side. Ad shumegia lebeit hatfilah, okay, to light his way, or maybe because there was a concern he would see someone, like they wanted to make sure, like there were issues of tzniut, of people going to the mikvah. And anyway, he gets to the beit hatfilah, umiduwai tasham, there was a torch there, you know, to warm people up, because when they get out of the mikvah, it's freezing. Ubeit kisei shel kavod, okay, and this is very interesting, there was a bathroom of kavod, a respectful bathroom. We're going to learn what a respectful bathroom is. Okay, you might think this is all of our bathrooms, but in those days, obviously, this wasn't the way all bathrooms worked. Zehayach vodo, what made it kavod, respectful? Mitzao na'ul yodea she'yesh sham adam. Patuach b'yadua she'en sham adam. Okay? They would have a lock on it, right? It sounds a radical idea to have a lock in a bathroom. But this seems like it was somewhat of a radical idea in order to make sure that laws of tzniut were because specifically were in the mikdash, so this bathroom had a lock on it so that you'd know if somebody was in the bathroom. Yarad v'taval alav nistapag. So, goes down, by the way, this is the Lashom in Yoma about the Kohen, where he goes all his tefillot, right? He goes down to the mikveh, he dunks, he comes up, and he dries off. B'nitchamem k'negen emdura, he warms up next to the fire.
But that's not the same mikveh that the Kohen went to.
No. The Kohen went to the mikveh, that's what we said, next to Lishkat Beit Avtinas. I'm just saying the wording they use is the exact same wording. And he will warm up, and then, what does he do at this point? He's supposed to leave the mikdash. What's the problem? It's the middle of the night, okay? And it's not really, people didn't like walking around in the middle of the night. Or maybe, because we said, maybe it's not usher that you actually have to leave the mikdash immediately. At this point, remember, he went to the mikvah, but what's the problem? He's a tful yom. He still can't work in the mikdash. He has to wait till the next night. So, what does he do? Bavi yashav lo etzel achiv hakohanim ad shehayu sha'arim niftachim. Okay, we go to his other brothers until the doors opened in the morning. In other words, he'd go back and sleep in the area. The assumption is he would stay on the whole side. Okay, and yotzei v'holech lo, and then he would go out. Mishu, okay, so that's his story. Now, mishu rotzei litrom et hamizbeach. Now, if you wanted to do, I didn't mention this, but why do we start at nighttime, assuming this is all happening at night, because it does sound like we're describing something that happened at night. Even if you say the Shemirah happened during the day, they immediately switch to what goes on at the nighttime when they would sleep. Why do we start at night? Because in general, remember, the halachic day always starts at sunset. This didn't start at sunset, right? Why not? Because the Beit HaMikdash day always starts in the morning. Now, we have to basically start with what leads to the morning, right? It's the sleep, which then they wake up from their sleep. Now we're going to see why we started with sleep, because immediately as soon as they wake up, what do they have to do? They have to go to the mikveh. Now, why do they have to go to the mikveh? Because to go into the azara, you have to go to the mikveh, no matter what, even if you're not tameh. Now, we're not talking about the guy who saw Keri. Now, we're talking about just any kohen would have to go to the mikveh. So, what would they do? Now, the first job in the Beit HaMikdash was tumat hadeshen. That was taking the ashes that were left over from the night and from the previous day and taking a small pile from them, right, and putting them next to the mizbeach at the floor. So, that's the first job of the day. So mishu rotzeh litrom et hamizbeach, if you wanted to do that job, mashkim v'tovel ad shelo yavo hamimuneh. Okay, we're going to learn about this mimuneh. We're going to see a lot about him. There was a guy in charge of And this guy's going to be in charge of the pious, okay? There were all sorts of things. There was a guy in charge, and he would kind of arrange things, right? It's a whole system. You need somebody in charge when there's a system. Again, it sounds like army-like. So there's a mimune. There's a guy in charge. So what would you do? He would show up in the morning. Now, if you wanted to be on the list to be Tovel and Mizbeach, what do you have to do? You had to wake up early and Tovel in the mikvah before Ad Shelo Yavo Mimune, before he gets there. Why? Because we'll see that as soon as he got there, he did the pious, what we call, right, where they, the lottery for who's going to do the Trumat Adeshen. If you weren't ready, then you couldn't be in the pious. V'chi be'ezah sha'ah b'ha mimuneh. Now, this is a very strange lashon for a Mishnah. And what time did the mimuneh come? Right? Normally, they would just say it instead of questions. It's a bit of a strange nesach. Anyway, they asked, so what time would he show up? Well, lo kolei tim shavot. Pa'amim shuba mikot ha'gever o samuch lo milufanav o me'acharav. It wasn't like they're an exact time, okay? Either when the rooster crows is kot ha'gever, or some people say it's when the person would wake people up in the Beit HaMikdash, when the gever would call out, okay? Some people say it's the first, it comes up another Mishnah, that the kot ha'gever was the beginning of the third part of the night. There's the Ashmora Yishona, Shnia, and Shlishit. This is the beginning, it's pretty early, right? The beginning of the third part of the night. He would come sometimes a little before, sometimes a little after. Some people say the reason why it's lo kol etim shavot is because there's certain days, like on Yom Kippur, he would come at a different time entirely. So maybe that's what it means. And what does it mean, sometimes a little before, sometimes a little after? That's
also
just
practical
telling us.
Reality, they didn't have alarm clocks. I mean, it's very hard to probably to be very, very, very specific.
Yes, exactly.
Time.
Although it's interesting that they're telling you they weren't so specific about time. That's why it makes more sense to say that there's certain days where it was a totally different time, you know, and there was a big difference of time, and that's what it's referring to. Anyway, I'm a muneh ba'vadafak alehen. Okay, he knocks on them, sort of what exactly that means, alehen. So they'll say it means alehen, why plural? On a few doors. In other words, he knocks on the door from both sides. I don't know. There's a bit of a debate about what this alehen is. Anyway, he wakes them up. Vehem patchulo, and they open the gate for him, you know, the entrance for him. Amar lehen, because remember, they had the keys. And then, what does he say? Misha taval v'yavo v'yafis. Okay, whoever's already ready, he can be part of this lottery. Hifisu, so they did it, and Misha Zacha Zacha, okay? And whoever won, okay, so it's his turn to do it. So if that's the end of our mission, now we're going to start some Gemara. Mina Hane Mile. We're going to have Mina Mile a few times. It's going to be a little unclear exactly what they're looking for, but where do we know either just that the Kohanim did Shmira, okay, or we're going to see, right, either Kohanim did Shmira, or that there's a halakha to do shmira, right? Some people think it means, how do we know that you have to do shmira? And then some people say, how could that possibly be the question? It says explicitly in the Torah, that can't be the question. So maybe it means, how do we know that the Kohanim have to do it in these three places? Amar Abaye, Amar Kha, the Pasuk says, V'achonim lifnei ha-mishkan kedma lifnei o-ha-mo'e mizracha, Moshe v'aron u'banav shomrim mishmeret ha-kodesh l'mishmeret b'nei Yisrael. So what do you see here, right? There were the people who were settled before the Mishkan, right, they were Ne'er Ol Moed. It was Moshe, Aaron, and his sons, and they would be Shomer Mishmeret Hakodesh for Bnei Israel. So Amrei in Shimur Ba'alma Eshkachan Dibay Kohanim Vilevim Shimur Miu Matnitin Katane B'Shlosha Makomot Hakohanim Shomerim B'Beit Hamikdash V'Levim B'Eshrim V'Achav Makom V'Ilukra Kohanim V'Levim B'Hadei Hadadiktiv. So the students answer Abaye and they say, okay, so yes, it's true they have to do Shmira. We see that from the pasuk. But from the pasuk, it sounds like not only Kohanim, also Levim, because Moshe was part of it, and it sounds like they need to do it all together. And what does our Mishnah say? Now, this is a little strange because our Mishnah doesn't exactly say this, but it says, our Mishnah says in three places, Kohanim, Shomrim, that we have, and the Levim in 21 places. Okay? Now, it didn't say that in our version of the Mishnah. Maybe people had that in their version of the Mishnah. It does come up in another Mishnah. I think it's in Midot. But in any case, we know that there's three Kohanim, right? Three places for the Kohanim and 21 for the Levim. And the Pasuk said it sounds like they were all in the same place guarding together. So, Amrei Hachi Kamar. This is the way you read the Pasuk, not the way we read it, but Achonim Lefnei Amishkan Kedma Lefnei Amoe Mizracha Moshe. Period. There's the Chonim, that's Moshe. Those are the Levim. Vahadar Aharon Ubanav Shomre Mishmeret HaMikdash. Okay, yeah. And then you have Aharon and his sons, and they're Shomrei Mishmeret HaMikdash. How many is Aharon and his sons? Well, he had four sons, but at this point, Nadav and Avihu already died. He only has two sons, Eleazar v'Itamar. That's three of them. And they're going to say, Aharon b'chab makom, ubanav b'shnei mekomot. And so therefore, we learn that we have Moshe on the one hand, the Levim, and then we have Aharon and his sons, and each one in their own place. So now the Gemara is going to say, Mimai, how do you know they were each in their own place? And how do you know that we split the Pasuk that way? Midichtiv hachonim uchtiv shomrim. It calls them the chonim, they're settling there, and then it calls them the shomrim. So there's two different verbs describing. We'll say chonim refers to Moshe, shomrim refers to Aaron and his sons, and then so chonim lechud v'shomrim lechud. So then they say, okay, fine, that resolves that we can split between Moshe and Aaron and his sons. But ema kulu b'chamakom lechude. Maybe Aaron and his sons are all standing in one place. Who's to say three separate places? So they say lo salkadatach. Why not? Ma Moshe b'chamakom lechude. Af Aaron ubanav b'chamakom lechude. Moshe was obviously by himself because it's only Moshe. So likewise, Aharon, his three sons, must have each been in their own place. Okay, again, this is all the world of drashot. You kind of come up with, you know, how you want to say it. That's one answer. Rav Ashi amar misefa deka. Shomrim mishmeret limishmeret. If you notice in that pasuk, there's three words that have the same root of shmira. Three separate places. Okay, that's how we get the main source that Aharon and the sons, right, that basically the Kohanim, need to do shmirah from three different places. Beit avtinas ubeit hanitzot, they don't quote the rest of the Mishnah, but it was aliyot. Remember, they were an upper level. Ibayalu. So now they ask a question. Aliyot mamash havu? O dilma dehavu gviye migba ke aliyot. Were they actually aliyot? In the time of the mikdash, aliyah meant the second floor. So it doesn't mean there was a first floor and a second floor. Or was it just a very high place? Like an aliyah. Tashma, right, which would make sense if you're having shmira. Maybe it was just like an emdat shmira that was, you know, there was no bottom floor. It was just a building that was built high. Tashma, let's learn it from this source. Ditnan, it says in the Mishnah, Shebitzvon shara nitzot kimin achsadra haya. The shara nitzot was like an achsadra. What's that? Like a portico. Ve'aliyah b'nuyal gaba. Okay, this open space, right? Usually I think the portico had these pillars, and on that it's saying there was another, there was a roof on top of that. Now you see, first of all, you see from the source that wherever the Kohanim were Shomer, the Leviim were Shomrim, right? That they were Shomrim, wherever the Kohanim were, there were also Leviim. The Kohanim were above and the Leviim were below. It sounds like the Leviim were back up. This is a separate thing. It doesn't have to connect with us. It just happens to be here that in the Shara Nitzot, it also had, just like we talked about the Beit HaMokeh, there was a petach that led outside to the chol. Okay, the Shara Nitzot is on this, the north side. Okay, there was a petach that went out to the chol area, and there was a petach that went to the Kodesh area. Okay, so what do you see from here? That clearly there were two floors, because otherwise where would the Leviim be, right? And it says it was an achsadra, and the Aliyah was built above it. So now we have another Minahani Mile. It's not so clear what we mean here. So the question is going to be, probably, why, how do we know that the Leviim were Shomrim in the same place as the Kohanim? Or maybe that they were Lemilamala and they were Lamata. Detanu Rabbanan, Vilavu Elecha V'yishartucha. So here, when it talks about the Leviim, it says, in Bamibar Yulche, Pasuk Bet, V'gam et achecha mate Levi, Shevet Avicha, Hakrev Itach. Okay, Shevet Levi also you should have with you. He's talking to the Kohanim. And they should serve you. That's going to be the focus of our drasha. Okay, they're going to serve you with you and your sons before Ol Moed. Two pesukim later, it says, which is probably the second pasuk, although it's not so clear because there's a few different girsaot about which pasuk exactly they're quoting. But two pesukim later, it says, and they will join you. Vishamuat mishmeret ol moed. Again, they're talking about the Leviim, and they will watch over ol moed. L'chol avodata ol v'zar le'yikrav alechem. Right, so only them, but no others are. Now, talks about in the first pasuk it said v'yishartucha. In the second pasuk it just said vishamuat mishmeret ol moed without saying you, serving you. So that's the drasha on the pasuk. They're going to say v'nuvu elecha v'yavu elecha v'yishartucha v'avotatcha katuv medaber. They're going to help you with your work. Kohanim, okay? The Leviim are going to help the Kohanim with their work, meaning they'll be Shomer with you. Then they say, how do you know that it means they're going to help you and not that they're going to do their own Shmirot, separate Shmirot? So they say, and here there's a Girsa problem because it says, which is not what it says in the Pasuk. But I assume what they mean is, and they're going to watch over their Kelim. Remember, the Leviim were in charge of the Kelim and bringing the Kelim and all that. Maybe it just means they're in charge of watching over their stuff, not the Beit HaMikdash in general. Then in that Pasuk, Harei Bavodatam Amor, there the context is their work. So, Ha'amani Mekayem V'yelavu Elecha V'yishartucha. So therefore, in the Pasuk, Tupsukim before, when it says they'll serve you, it can't be talking about they're watching their own stuff, because that already says in the later Pasuk, it must be, how could it be? Kohanim shomrim ilamala v'levim ilamata. So again, either the proof is it's specifically to tell you that the Kohanim are lamala and the Levim are lamata, although that didn't really come out of the drasha. The drasha was really that they're going to do Shmirah with you, right? That wherever there's a Kohen, there's also a Levi. Okay, not wherever there's a Levi, there's a Kohen, because remember the Levim, we said 21 places. We're going to see later, you'll see in tomorrow's daf, that 21 and 24, there's a few different Girsaot, like whether it's 21 or 24. It could be the other three. The discrepancy is because those are the ones that are in the same places as the Kohanim. Okay, so now, Beit HaMoked Kippa U'Bayit Gadol Haya. V'chad Shomer Hu Dahave B'Beit HaMoked, right? Obviously, this is obvious, right? And there was one Shomer in the Beit HaMoked, just like there was one Shomer in all the other places. Urimini, but this seems to contradict some other source, because it says, Shnei Sha'arim Hayu B'Beit HaMoked. Echad Petuach L'Chel V'Echad Petuach L'Azara. There were two entrances to the Beit HaMoked. One that went to the Chol and one that went to the Azara. Right, the Chel is the area, if you look on this map, there's a whole yellow area around the Beit HaMikdash. That's called the Chel. Okay, around the this whole around the Azarot. Okay, that yellow part. So now they say, so it sounds like you need two Shomrim. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, this doesn't connect, but this is just part of that source. B'zeh shenichnesim la'azara pish pesh katan hayalo. Shebo nichnesim livlosh ha'azara. This is a very strange source. There was a little door inside the big door that led from the Beit HaMoked into the Azara. Okay, there was this pishpesh katan, a smaller door. And what would they use it for? They would go in livlosh Azara. What's a balash, a detective, right? So they would go to check up on things. Now, some people say they would use that door to basically check on what was going on inside the Azara to make sure everything was okay. Why would you need a little door? It seems a little strange. Some people say that they were going, and see this in the source further on, that they would check up to make sure that everyone wasn't sleeping on the job when they did their shmirot. To make sure these kids weren't sleeping, and they would kind of do some detective work, check up on them. Now, if they opened the main door of the Azara, think about when people are sleeping, if you make a lot of noise, you wake them up. So if they opened the big, huge door, it would wake everybody up, and then they wouldn't be able to actually check were they sleeping on the job, because they'd obviously wake them up. They'd be like, oh yeah, I was up the whole time. So they'd have to sneak in order that no one would hear them, to actually check up on them. So therefore, they had this small door that they could open very easily, quietly, and it wouldn't make a lot of noise. That's one explanation. Another explanation is that also it required a huge amount of people, a large amount of people, to open that huge door. And here, if you wanted to check up, there was like one guy who was doing the checkup, he wouldn't be able to open the door on his own. It was the middle of the night, everybody was sleeping, so he needed, you know, a way to get in without having to have a ton of people open the door. Anyway, it's a little bit questionable what exactly he's looking for, why he's going in, why they need this small door. Okay, in any case, for our purposes right now, it's a side issue. The reason why we brought this was to say, okay, who remembers? So, the Beit HaMoked, there was only one Shomer. How could there be one Shomer when there were two openings, two entrances? So, Amar Abaye, Kigon Degabe Hadadeh, Kevan Degabe Hadadeh Avukaime, since they were one opposite of the other, Sagil Hubachad Shomer, you can manage with one Shomer, Dave Lahacha, Dave Lahacha, he would just turn his head and check both. And the entranceway was right opposite the, you know, parallel to each other, you'd be able to look from one to the other. It wasn't a big deal. Mukaf Rovadim Shel Evan. So now we're going to get back to these stone benches that we kind of already described. Rovadim Maini. Who? What were these Rovadim? Gizrata de Itzdebata, de Salki Behuli Itzdebata. They were, what's the word? Hewn stones that were then put into the wall in these rows. Umi Havim Palgo Avanim. How were they able to have hewn stones? This is, we're now going to quote some psukim from Sefer Melachim. When they built the Beit HaMikdash, they used whole avanim. Remember, you're not allowed to use any iron or metal implements to, basically, there was no way to create these hewn stones. So Amar Abaye, Dimitakne Umaitim Ikara Avne Zutratava Avne Rav Revata. The assumption is they had to be hewn because they were different shapes. So you need a different shapes. How do you get different shapes? Well, so what did Abaye say? Ah, they started with, and they bought them already, or they found them, or whatever. You know, they were already, or they took care of them outside the Beit HaMikdash and then brought them in already done. Kedichtiv, as you see in Sefer Melachim also, Avnei Eser Amot v'Avnei Shmona Amot. And as they had Avanim that they brought to the Beit HaMikdash, they were different sizes. How'd they get them to the different sizes? Obviously, they took care of it all outside the Mikdash before they brought them. Okay, last part for today is the Knei Beit Av. Yishenim sham. Amai le'ali mitot. Why don't they bring beds in? Amar bai, lava orachar la'yule mitot le'beit ha-mikdash. It's not appropriate. It's not kavod to bring beds into the Beit HaMikdash. This is very interesting. If you couldn't bring beds, well, why could you have these stones that they could sleep on? I assume the idea is that we don't want people to get into a really deep sleep. It's not respectful to have these beds here. And we'll actually go like two more lines, actually, I realize, because I don't want to stop here. I'm going to stop a little bit further. But basically, it's not respectful to have beds, so they wouldn't bring beds, and that's why they had either these stones or they would sleep on this floor. Why did they first call them Rovim, then Perchei Kuna? It seems like they're two different groups of people, but they both mean young Kohanim. Amre in hatam de lomatu lumea beravoda kareluhu rovim. The ones that weren't of age yet to do the work were called rovim. Hacha de maitu luhu lumea beravoda kareluhu pirche. Okay, so the ones that were old enough to do avoda, they call them the pirche kuhuna.